Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Listener discretion is advised.
Listener discretion is advised.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline starts now.
Hey, everybody, Dr. Drew here. Joining us tonight, Danny Bonaducci.
Hey, everybody.
Danny, buddy, how are you?
I'm really well, thank
you
very
much. So good to see you. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Breaking Bonaducci into its second season.
Absolutely.
Coming out,
I think, October.
October.
So it's a little early to plug, but anything you want to say about me is fine.
And a learning annex coming up.
That's the 31st. And that's the thing. I've got, like, a really interesting 2 weeks coming up. But the learning annex is the thing I care about. It's like every time I did comedy, the big fear is nobody would be there.
Right.
Not are you funny. That's second.
Right.
First is, did you sell any tickets? Will there be bodies there?
Yes, yes.
That's my big concern. I'll walk out. The course is on how to get into radio and how to become a success in radio.
It's a learning annex in the Valley in Los Angeles?
I don't have the location. I'll bring it tomorrow.
Okay.
I just remembered I was supposed to talk
how
about
how to do radio.
How to do radio.
Which, I mean, I'm actually interested in what you're going to say, because you're very...
So
very
am I.
But you understand, Ray. You're going to have to sit down and deconstruct what you do.
Well, you know what I'll do? Know? And this is probably a little technical for everybody out there, but if you're in top 40 radio or rock and roll radio, like Kevin and Bean, something like that, you run by a clock. You have to play a certain amount of songs, or you should. You certainly have to play your spots. And how can you be clever in 3 minutes at a time? That's gonna be my main focus.
Right, and how radio's changing, and there are straight talk now on FM.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to write out everybody's clocking how everybody has to do their job differently. Because I'm going to separate them into groups. Who wants to do news? Who wants to talk? Who wants to do music?
Have you thought about, I don't know if our audience is interested in this at all, but I am interested in how your internal clock works. Because you clearly have one. And do you ever deconstruct what that is and how that works? And
no, I've never broken that down. I just know
it'd be interesting if you could communicate that to people, because I know people sit where you're sitting all the time.
Right.
They don't have a clock.
Right, absolutely.
And it's like, hey guys, radio, let's get it going here.
Here's what I know. If it's a dance song, I have to smoke really fast. If it's the Foo Fighters, I got some time. That's what I know. There's my internal clock.
You can ask, and Danny's had a little accident here. Oh. You're just smiling at me. I just noticed.
I'm so glad I'm on the radio, man, because I'm really self-conscious. My wife and her friend were making fun of me last night. I stormed off, calling me Cletus and making banjo playing.
No, it's more like Alfred E. Newman.
I lost one of my front teeth in a horrible eating accident. And it just blew right out of my mouth. After all I've been through. I've crashed motorcycles, cars, been chased through the woods, had some serious ass whoopings, and I lose a teeth over... Dude, I'll tell you. Do you want to know what I was biting?
Ice cream cone? What?
Promise not to judge me and still be my friend?
Absolutely.
My toenail.
Your toenail. Well done. You can still do that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Wow, I can't believe that's what I got. My wife, I was going to lie, and I'm trying not to do that anymore. It's a big thing with me right now. Because I've kind of wasted most of my life just lying to everybody. No two people I've ever met can get in the same room because I've lied to both of them.
Rigorous honesty.
Right, so I'm working that. And my wife said, what are you biting on? I'm trying to go for it. I'm going, something hard. But what? My big toenail.
That's awesome that you can do that. That's well done.
Well, I can't do it, apparently.
But
my
I mean that
out.
You can get your toe up there.
Yes.
I'm just very truly impressed.
Thank
That's
you.
Awesome. Now, you've got other things coming up these 2 weeks?
Right. Because I want to take... I really want to get into your
calls. We got 3 minutes. I'm going to turn the air out while you're talking.
You want to know what I'm so proud of?
Yeah.
Because I've told my wife over and over, they're doing my biography.
Who is?
Annie.
Oh, that's cool.
Annie biography.
That's nice.
Huge.
That is a big deal.
I've told my wife, since that show's been on the air, you have not made it till A&E does
Good
your biography,
for you.
And you're super cool if they do it while you're still alive.
Are they coming to you to help, you know, excavate information?
Dude,
and stuff?
They're following me. If your sister station in New York would like, I'll do part of it there. They're in New York, and so will I be next week.
Who?
Yeah, me and A&E, and I'll be at your sister station in New York.
How about this week? I'm going to be there. Seriously, I'm going to be there the rest of this week. Dan's going to be the whole week with me. I'm going to be outside this studio part of this week. Too.
I got it, man.
Come meet me in New York. Let's do it. Let's do it there.
That's actually a really good idea.
I'm
that
game.
Makes way better sense.
I'm game.
I thought you said I'm gay.
No.
That
I'm
makes
not
the
gay.
Trip better.
No, I like you, Danny. I thought
I was going to miss my wife.
No, buddy.
If Drew's gone gay.
I like you, but, you know, not that way.
All right.
It's good times. All right, here we go. Let's go to the callers. This is Tyler.
Yeah.
Hello, Tyler.
Hi. How you doing?
We're good, thank you. What's up?
Yeah, I was just calling to see about, like, whenever you're stimulating a girl manually with your hand or whatever,
right.
They have this orgasm, they kind of just explodes at you. Yeah, when you hit the G-spot. I was just wondering what that liquid is.
You know, we talked about that last week. Can I tell you that as interested, and it's good that you are interested in what that liquid is, and hopefully Dr. Drew will have an answer, because I do not. But why don't you just shut up and thank God that you can make it happen? I can't make that happen. I've been married for 15 years to this woman. Nothing ever came out of her that was, you know, not supposed to. Not once.
And Tyler, that may be your current girlfriend, but that's not every woman ejaculates like that. It's fluid from the... Huh?
It's been two of mine so far.
Two for two? Random events segregate non-randomly, so this will be his two for the lifetime.
That'll be it.
He hit him up front. And it's something relatively uncommon. Sometimes it's urine, though rarely so. More often, it's glandular fluid from the area. There's a series of glands in that vicinity that can put out a good bit of fluid.
Hey, how old are you?
I'm 19.
Okay. I got a question for you. Do you tell all your friends that you can do this?
Do I tell them that I can do this? Yeah. A couple of them, yeah.
Damn right you do. Oh. You're a fine young man.
Thank you.
Yeah. And it's not just something, it's not necessarily just with the hand that's happening. That's with those particular women that you're able to do this.
Right.
And the ones that can do it can just do it, and some, many, many can't. So
all of the ones I've met
cannot.
Cannot.
Yeah. That's
and I've met a bunch of them.
Yeah. Janice.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Janice.
Hey, Danny, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. What can we do for you?
Well, nothing. I just wanted to say I wasn't one of those women either, but I wanted to say, you know, I loved your show on Brain.
The other radio station?
Huh?
VH1?
No, or the TV station?
No, Breaking Bonaducci. I mean,
oh, thank you.
Somebody like be so willing to be completely eradicated almost, you know, on television. You really impressed me.
Well, let me tell you the truth, and thank you very much, but there was a point, there was a very early point, very early on, where I made the decision to not hide anything from these guys. It was my show. But I stopped making decisions, you know, 3 days into it. I was just wasted that whole show. I barely remember doing it, and I've never seen it.
The show?
Yeah, never seen one second of it.
And you told me last time that there was a point at which they called you and went, we're going to have to stop this, unless you go in for treatment.
Yeah, that's exactly what
And how long into the shooting was that?
Not that long, because
like
that's 4 weeks right there, and they only bought an 8-week show, but they're very happy with the outcome, so they bought a couple more weeks after that, so it ended up being 12. But yeah, that surprised me, because I thought businessmen see dollar signs, and even in my most incoherent state, I knew we were going to make some money. I knew people were going to go, oh my God, what's this guy going to do next?
Huh.
I wasn't that out of my mind that I didn't know that this was going to be successful.
So let me understand what that was. Was that you exaggerating what mother have done, or just knowing that it's almost like you're needing to go as far as you can go, kind of thing? You know what I mean?
Both of those are more suited to the truth than what I'm about to say.
Okay.
But this sounds better, I think.
Okay.
Because I do need to go further than the next guy if there's an audience.
Right.
You know, one of the reasons I think I am so stone cold sober these days, when I walked in the other day, the last time you went, you look really good.
Yeah.
And everybody has said that lately.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if you fall off the wagon, people can tell.
Yes.
Even if you're lying to them. But this is going to sound so bad. People were coming up to me on the street congratulating me. People were coming up to me on the street and saying, you know, I got my brother into rehab because of your show. Mm. Well, I've done the God route, and I still do. I go to church and all that stuff, and I've gone the rehab route. And I still couldn't quit drugs. But then I pray at one altar and one altar only, and it's the audience.
Mm.
And the audience told me to quit, so I did.
Mm-hmm.
I had some help, but that's the way I believe it to be.
But that's what helped. I do believe the cameras help motivate recovery.
Oh, yeah.
Which is wild, but if people, this has never been studied, but I've seen a few people under the scrutiny of the camera getting into recovery, and they seem to do better than I would predict, which is you. But the question is, when you were getting out of it, when you were spinning out of control, was the unbridled because it was almost like you felt justified in doing it because the cameras were on?
Yeah, absolutely.
Needed to. Yeah, yeah.
Right. And even though they would say stop, I thought I could see in my disheveled state, I thought I could see them saying, we don't really mean it. You know, out of their mouths, they'd say, stop, you're going to kill yourself. But I would interpret that as, we can't give you permission, but this is what we really want.
Right.
See, but I was seeing things in a warped fashion.
Because people will say, oh, no, he was just exaggerating. I don't think you were exaggerating it.
No.
You were just giving, not permission.
I have been on many occasions exactly what you saw on television. Exactly.
Right.
Just not that many nights in a row.
Right.
That was a lot of nights in a row to be that out of control.
Well, and Gretchen, your wife, was saying that was the worst she'd ever seen you. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh, my God. That was like,
I've never seen this before.
It scared her. Yeah. I mean, really, I'm sure I've been scared before, but this was like, oh, she talks about it now. You can see it in her eyes. Like, whoa.
Yeah. She couldn't be more pleased it's over. Because, yeah. As you well know, being drunk or on drugs, other behaviors follow that that are not conducive to a married man. Well said, huh? Behaviors and conducive. Ooh. All in one little sentence.
Okay. Let's see what Katie likes here. Katie.
Hey, how's it going?
You're on with Danny Bonaducci.
And Dr. Drew.
This is kind of neat. Hey, so my question is, like, I'm with this really amazing guy, and he's, like, everything I could, like, dream of wanting, but it's, like, I really want a controlling guy, and it kind of weirds me out because, like, I almost wear the pants in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And
Have you been with sort of a-hole guys up to now?
Yeah.
And that's what you prefer?
Well, I mean, I like that he's not an a-hole, but it's, like, deep down inside, I, like, he's almost like, I can say something almost mean to him, and he just takes it. And I really want him to just, like, tell me to shut up and tell me what he's thinking, and he won't.
What's happening is you ventured into a third category, as far as I'm concerned. You've got a very polite man, and you've got a bad boy. And somehow you've jumped into a relationship with a pussy.
Yeah.
That's what's happened here. This is not one or the other. This is a third category.
Yeah.
It's just not a real guy. You know, you don't have to push a woman around to wear the pants in the family. You don't have to get up in a girl's face like she's a guy, like you can talk to her all tough. You don't have to do that to be the bad boy. You don't have to be mistreated to expect him to be the bad boy that you kind of want. This guy's just a puss.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think what she's getting into is a thing where she is either with a guy who's sort of the abuser, or she becomes the abuser.
Because, like,
so you flip roles, the aggressive role.
And
right, you either the one being aggressed against, or the one who takes the aggressive role, and that's not a great sign, Katie.
Yeah.
That's a bad sign.
Now, does that, who wears the pants in the family? Because if you ask me who wears the pants in my family, the answer is Gretchen.
Yeah.
She makes all the tough decisions and balances the checkbook.
Yeah.
Where if you asked either one of us who's the aggressor, the answer is me.
Yeah.
Can't you come to a meeting of the minds?
Katie?
Huh?
Never mind. I do that to a lot of chicks.
Katie, was your dad abusive?
Towards my mom, but... Yeah, I guess towards me too. Because
all right,
like,
so that's where you learned that. So you would identify very strongly with wanting that in a male figure, or you become the abuser against the Amy. You know, you identify with, you become that person yourself and abuse the male figure, and that's a bad thing.
I mean, I'm not physically abusive.
I know, but I don't mean it's bad in the sense that it's morally bad. I mean it's bad psychologically. It means it's going to be very difficult for you to be attracted to a whole person. This is what Danny's advocating for you. There's a guy who is not, can be aggressive and sort of masculine, but doesn't have to be abusive and aggressive. And it's something that, you know, when you've been abused against, you tend to see people in black and white as opposed to sort of grays, or where they can be multiple different things and be more flexible. And, you know... Date a bunch more, Katie.
Yeah,
you're 18.
Also, she's so sweet that she's obviously Dr. Jekyll and Mrs. Hyde. She's having to turn on these personalities to suit who she's with.
Absolutely.
I'm 18, and, like, I'm raised, and, like, we're not strict Christian, but we're, like, my family's kind of, like, super Christian. And, like, I feel like at 18, I should be, like, settling down.
No.
Oh, God.
You should be going to college. You should be dating lots of guys.
You should be going to prison. You're 18.
All right.
You know, you can still maintain your moral boundaries and do what you want to do and date lots of people and figure out what you want from a person. 18 to 22 is a very treacherous time for young ladies. You'll tend to be attracted to the wrong guy most of the time.
Yep.
Oh,
give it a little time, okay?
All right, well, Dr. Drew and Danny, I think you guys both are really cool.
Thank you.
Thanks, Katie.
No problem.
Take care.
Right, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Bye.
You know what I like is when somebody talks to you and you give them, because you give much better help than I do. I just yell at some people who bug me. Well, it's just that here's why we're the perfect team. Everything you want to cure people of, I've been addicted to.
Right.
So that's, you know, we're just the...
Well, that's the idea, is that you've sort of got the more street kind of point of view, which is nice.
I like that.
Don.
Yeah?
That's you.
Now with Danny and Drew.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
That's good. I'm just really confused.
All right. Well, about what?
About this one guy that I used to date a while back.
How long back?
11 years ago.
So, yeah,
wow.
A long time ago. All right. Go ahead, and
are you listening to your radio, or are you just taking these dramatic pauses?
What's that?
Are you listening to your radio? Is your radio up?
No, it's not. It's off.
Right. Okay.
Okay, good. Because you have a funny rhythm, funny meter to how you're talking to us. It's like... Whoop, whoop. So come on, let's get with it.
Okay.
Here we go. Here we go. What about this
guy?
Not
with it, maybe.
All right.
Okay. I dated him like 11 years ago, and I've been thinking about him a lot lately. And I know we basically have both gone our separate ways, but once in a while we'll keep in contact.
Yeah.
And
here's that
I don't
pause
know again. If I should, like, pursue anything with him or not, but he's, I don't know, he's the one I would see myself with.
I'm confused. You're with him now just at a distance? You're making contact? You're not dating?
Yeah, I'll just talk to him once in a while. It's nothing regular.
Why don't you call him and ask him out? Very simple. And see where he's at. You may find that, A, he's changed and he's not who you thought he was, or you may change your sort of opinion of being with this guy, or he may be so completely unavailable that you need to just forget about
him. Yeah, is there a chance that if you ask him out on a date, his wife will disapprove?
Right, exactly. Exactly.
I know he's not married because I'm like best friends with his
sister. All right, call him up, ask him out. Boom, ask him out. Do you want to do it?
Or move on.
Do you want to ask him out tonight?
Do you want? If you want, we can actually call him for you. You want us to call him right now? We can all ask him out.
I wish you could.
We can.
We could do
that. Do you want us to do it?
I don't have his number.
Oh. Oh, yeah. We can see, after 11 years, I'm still pining away for this guy, but I don't have his number. Either A, she doesn't want us to call, or B, she's one of those guys that comes to your house and boils your cat.
Or C, right, and because he doesn't want her to have that number.
Right, very nice.
So, all right, Don, call up, ask him out, or email him, whatever it is you do to make contact with that guy, go ahead and do it.
If I don't hear from my wife every 3 hours, I just assume she has left me. After 11 years, you gotta get, maybe you broke up.
Nathan.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We're good. What's happening there?
I'm 21, got two kids, and my wife's sex drive is gone. I mean,
yeah. If you called the right guy, I can help you here. Okay, go on.
Well, I mean, before we got married, we're like rabbits in a hole. But now that after the second kid, I don't know, she's got some extra weight and she feels a little self-conscious, but I don't know if it's something that I can do to try to coax her into thinking that she's acceptable, or if it's something deeper inside her.
There's so many bad sides here,
and it ends up with something deep inside her, which, in fact, is our goal. So here we go. First of all, is she acceptable? When you say you have to coax her into thinking she's acceptable, is she acceptable to you?
Yes.
Yes, she's you still find her physically attractive?
Yes. And
but remember, women don't care so much about that as how they feel about themselves. If they don't feel sexy, they can't be sexy. There's a very deep thing with women about, see, if I don't like how I look. I was doing this whole story on women and vaginal reconstruction. This woman was, after multiple babies, everything was sort of broken. The architecture was broken. And the husband was saying, honey, it's okay. It's no big deal to me. She was like, but it's a big deal to me. And then when you say it's no big deal, now not only is it a big deal, but I feel not understood.
You've minimalized your big deal. Absolutely,
right.
I am with you.
So you got to be. That's one thing.
All right, I got to go bad cop on this one, and then
go.
You can repair my.
Yeah,
damage,
yeah. Go ahead.
All right, here we go. Because my wife, I thought my wife lost her sex drive after our first child, and then after our second child, I was pretty damn sure of it. And there was, I think she'll dispute this, but she'll say 8 months, but I'll say a year that we did not, in fact, do it.
Wow.
I made every reasonable thing I could. And I met some other women through step programs who are very streetwise. And I'm going to clean this up because this isn't what they ever said. But they said something to the fact of, it's never smart to let your husband leave the house with an erection. Never. Just don't do it. Satisfy your man. It's your job.
I'm just dying to know what the actual statement. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So, and it just sounded so great coming from this tattooed chick.
Yeah, yeah.
But here's what I would do, because I'm just kind of a bad guy. I would imply that if you're not getting it at home, you're going to get it elsewhere. I put it this way to my wife when I'm trying to make this deal. I said, it's like you won't feed me, but you won't let me go to a restaurant. You have to pick. You have to pick. Feed me or let me go somewhere else. So she took feeding me. Yeah.
And you went somewhere. I'm just saying.
Well, just that once, you bastard.
I'm just saying. All right, well, let me refine Danny's thing a little bit, because there's an interesting, because some women will react to that very negatively and shut down even further. Yeah. But here's one thing you've got to look at. And we've sort of talked around the interpersonal and psychological, is that there are profound biological changes that occur after childbearing. Is she still breastfeeding?
No, never breastfeeding.
Is she using a birth control method?
No.
Hormonal birth control. What are you guys doing for birth control?
Babies.
Not having sex.
Yeah.
What is it? Not having sex.
Yeah.
Okay. And you've, and how long has it been since the second child?
Just over a year now.
All right. It's very, has she been depressed during that year? It's another issue, postpartum depression.
Anxiety disorder, but not depression.
Is she on medication for that?
Yes.
Yeah. Is she on a serotonin reuptake inhibitor like Prozac or Celexa or Lexapro?
Zoloft.
All right. Zoloft will shut her down sexually. And I've occasionally on this show saved marriages by bringing husbands to that attention. That you know, A, when people are depressed, they need their relationships. The last thing they need to happen is for you to be repelled or pushed away from them because they have no libido because of these medications. These medications may be life-saving, but they also may be shattering to the relationship. She needs to go back to her doctor and talk about medications that don't F up her libido.
Right.
Here are three. Write them down. You ready?
Yeah.
Wellbutrin.
Got it.
Remeron.
Don't got it.
Cerazone. Cerazone. Each have their own risks and benefits, and you need to talk about with the doctor about
it. The first one will help her quit smoking,
and
too.
That's true. And sometimes adding the Wellbutrin to the Zoloft can be helpful, but I would say probably a switch in this case. So that may restore her libido by itself. If it doesn't, it's very common for libido to drop just as a virtue of having had a baby, and sometimes getting on a hormonal contraceptive will help.
But you know what?
Sometimes it hurts, but sometimes it helps.
You know what you can do, though, is you can really have a straight discussion when if it turns out that she has no sex drive. My wife, honestly, she's probably listening to the show. She won't get mad at this. It took years for her to just say it out loud, but now she's cool with it.
Dying
inside. She does not have a big old sex drive. It's just not a thing she's interested in.
Right, right. Compared to you.
So I was taking Prozac, and it diminished my sex drive. So I said to my doctor, I said, what if I take two instead of one? He said, don't do it. It'll kill your sex drive. So it's the first thing I did. I took two. Well, it didn't kill it, but it reduced it remarkably.
Yeah.
And you know what? Made my whole life easier. Because I not only wasn't sleeping with my wife, but as you pointed out, I had, in fact, been somewhere else.
Yeah.
And on a couple of Prozac, nothing else was that interesting to me.
Interesting.
And it kept me completely from wandering.
Uh-huh.
My doctor said it's a terrible idea. What are you doing? But it really helped me out a great deal.
And you didn't get manic on all that Prozac. Manic.
Maybe.
You don't remember.
Well, it's just like
you don't
my
know.
Natural state.
You know? All right, the phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. That, of course, is Danny Bonaducci. We've got a bunch of interesting calls lined up here. He'll be with us all week.
Yay!
So more Danny, more Drew, more you when we get back. Here we are back on Loveline. Again, that phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. Danny Bonaducci in here tonight.
Along with my pal, Dr. Drew.
Indeed.
Very excited about this.
This is a good show. And, in fact, Danny's and his trials and tribulations are going to help out on this next call. This is Fernando.
I can't imagine when they wouldn't.
Fernando.
What up, Fernando?
What's up? Okay, so, Donnie Bonaducci, you're like pretty sick, and,
I like that.
Yeah, but, so right now I am completely out of it, and I don't know if I can say this, but I'm high right now.
Yeah, you can say that. Just don't say any dirty words that your mom told you not to. What are you high on?
I'm smoking pot right now, and I called because I've watched your show a few times and very kick-ass, and I'm like stunned, and they're like, well, what's going on, and what the hell is wrong with you? I mean,
listen to me carefully. Here's the first thing we're going to do. The second we put you on hold, I'm going to get your phone and I'm going to call you tomorrow, okay? Do you get up at a normal hour?
Yeah, I go to school from like 12 to noon, but that's it.
From 12 to noon, that's a brief class, man. Or incredibly long, one of the two. So you're high on pot right now. That's it? Marijuana?
That's it. That's all I smoke, because that's the only thing that I really trust. I would not touch anything else, because I've seen my friends, I've seen family go through all that crap, and I'm like,
you're talking to a guy who's lost everything twice. You don't need to tell me, what drugs will do. But it's not the pot may not do. I'll tell you the briefest of stories. I was on probation at one point for 5 years. I did something wrong, and they extended it to 7. It wasn't drug-related.
Damn.
I was on probation for 7 friggin' years. Both the charges were in 2 different states. I was living in a third state, which also wanted rights to my bodily fluids. So 2 drug tests a week could be taken from each state. That's 6. They didn't take that much, but they took enough that I could never smoke pot. I could do anything else I wanted and flush it out of my system.
You know how to time it.
Totally.
Yeah.
But not pot.
Oh,
you live with pot forever.
Oh, my God. I would cry.
Dude, if you took a drug test, you're so dirty. There's nothing you can do. You can drink cranberry juice all day. You're screwed.
The pot sticks around for up to a week or so sometimes.
So here's the thing, though. Because I hadn't smoked pot in 7 years, that was my... When I get off probation, man, I'm going to smoke a big, fat doobie. I can't wait. I was counting the days. Between the time I quit marijuana and the time I tried it again once, something had happened to the strength of THC and the way they grow marijuana. I thought, that's why I'm not making fun of them. I thought I was on acid. I thought I was flipping out.
But you know what? That there's actually a growing body of literature about panic, anxiety, and very, very negative reactions to pot. And that can happen at any time.
Yeah, that's what happened. I used to sit around and eat pizza, man. It was like, I thought it was the greatest thing. Why don't they legalize this? You see, who robs the Domino's guy?
Right. It turns out that very negative, panicky thing, paranoid, that can happen the first time, the 10th time, the 10,000th time.
When I've taken drugs that are supposed to, or you know, can induce this ecstasy, something like that, and it starts to induce it, you at least know somewhere in your psyche this could happen, so you can handle it.
Supposed to happen,
I didn't know this could happen with pot, so I couldn't control my panic.
And the fact is that pretty much everybody, if you smoke long enough, will get near that kind of experience. That's what starts to happen.
Well, I've been smoking since like my freshman year, and now I'm like freshman in college. So
is it still working as well for you?
I love it. It's like dark cow pot right now.
No, I know. You love the pot. I understand. The people that love it, the ones that, if you love it, guess what you're doing every day? It's what you love. And it'll start to get towards what the experience that Danny had. Fortunately, you had it all at once, and that was the end of that.
That was the end of that.
But of course, then it's like, whew, it's the end of that. What else is on the palate?
For me, that's exactly
but
what
what's
happens.
Up next?
You know, what can they design for me next?
Anthony.
Hey, how's it going, Dr. Drew?
Good.
Actually, it's very nice to talk to you again, Mr. Bonaducci, because I actually got to meet you at the Green Day's Bullet in the Bible movie premiere.
Oh, right on, man. Cool.
Yeah, I was there. I got to meet you, so it's pretty cool to talk to you again.
By the way, and thank you very much, but real quick, just every two people in a row have called me Mr. Bonaducci. Just because he's a doctor doesn't mean you have to call me Mr. I'm Danny, okay?
Okay, all right.
Makes me feel weird.
That's kind of weird.
Okay, so I have my prom coming up on the 20th, and the date I'm taking is a girl I've been dating for a long time, but she still turns me on very much. And so, like, whatever, like, when I'm dancing with her, I don't want to, like, be at the prom and start pitching a tent in the middle of the dance floor. What's the best thing I can do?
I'll tell you right, honest to God, you're going to find out the way to turn your back and look like you're just tucking in your shirt. This is so non-medical. You ready? Run it straight up your zipper. Dude, you're talking to the man of many erections constantly every day. Okay? You act like you're tucking in your shirt and just run it straight up your zipper, because it only looks like something if it's coming out from either side. It doesn't look natural.
Man of many erections. But I'd be curious what the women think about this. What would Anthony's girlfriend say? Is she nearby you?
She should be flattered.
You would think.
She would totally be fine, because I've been with her for like a year and a half now.
So it's more you're worried about anybody else watching you guys dance.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, all right, okay.
No, you'll be fine, man. You'll be fine. You're overthinking this.
Okay.
You know, if you said, you know, I have this problem with my prom's coming up and I have uncontrollable vomiting, they're going to notice. There's nothing I can tell you.
Yeah.
No, and your girlfriend will take it as a very flattering, but...
Yeah.
Girls, you're on, like, the first, second, third date with you and you find yourself slow dancing and that happens... Well, that's horrifying.
See, I would like to know what women think about that, because I don't never heard in public discussion.
Women
about
don't. Problem. Here's what women don't know. They take it as you're just about assaulting them.
Right.
What
I you're a pervert.
Yeah. Because, dude, once again, happened to me many times.
But on the other hand, you would think that maybe they would sort of share amongst themselves.
By the way, it's really bad if it happens to be the bride's wife or mother. You just want to avoid slow dancing with the bride's mother at any time that might happen.
You.
A little Oedipus action there for you.
Patrick.
Patrick, is that me? Right?
Yeah, Patrick, hold on. Let's move on.
I've been married more than once, so it doesn't really narrow the field.
Really?
Yeah.
How many times have you been married?
Twice.
Who was the other wife?
The other one's full name. At this point,
tell the story
Setsuko
about that one.
Hattori Bonaducci.
And she was Japanese?
Uh-huh, and I was drunk. And she needed a green card, and I was a citizen.
Oh, right. Yes, I did hear about that. Patrick.
Danny, what's up? Dr.
What's up, buddy?
Patrick, hello.
I got a quick... question. I'm diagnosed bipolar. Mm-hmm. I also did a little stint down at Los Encinas about a year ago.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to ask you, Seroquel, the medication, if it's not taken religiously, I wanted to ask you the side effects of it.
The side effects of taking it only not as you're supposed to, but intermittently.
Yeah, basically what happens is, I love the highs, hate the lows.
How rapid is that change, the highs from the lows? Is that a daily occurrence, an hourly occurrence, monthly?
Danny, I wish there was a schedule for it.
Yeah, you're talking to the right guy, dude. Well, you're talking to two of the right guys. Well, one doctor who can prescribe the medication you're on, and one guy who's on the medication you're on.
Go ahead, give him.
Seroquel for me is to take as a non-narcotic, non-addicting sleeping pill. That's what I take Seroquel for.
That's one of the uses.
So I only take it when I can't sleep. But I will tell you this. Maybe you build up a tolerance for it.
Mm.
But there are narcotics that don't have nearly the effect on me that Seroquel does. I had to explain to people why I was slurring.
Seroquel is considered a tranquilizer, correct?
Yeah, it is. But it's not a benzodiazepine tranquilizer, so it doesn't activate that addictive part of the brain. It is that behavior, of course, of using something to change your mind. You got to be careful about that. So not using it under someone's direction is a little bit of a concern to me, because you're using your addict brain to decide how to relate to a substance. That can be problematic. And I'm assuming your Seroquel was not just for sleep, but used for mood stabilization, right?
Exactly. They did that. I'm also on Depakote and also on Trazodone as a sleep.
Right.
Dude, you completely kicked my ass in the bipolar party.
That's only three of them. There's two more. There's Cogentin and, you know.
You're a train wreck. All I've got is lithium and Lamictal. Dude, you should be in radio. That's what it works out for everybody.
Patrick, here's the deal. You need to talk to the doctor about maybe getting off the Seroquel or using it as an adenosine bait. How much were you taking? You were taking it twice a day?
I'm taking it four times. I take one in the morning, midday.
How much?
I don't know the milligram. I should know, and I don't. I was
a small yellow pill?
No, a big white one.
Woo. I don't even know what that is.
200?
Yeah, that sounds correct. And then they got me a 2,000, I believe, of Depakote.
All right, so you got heavy biology,
yeah,
Patrick.
I was going to say you've got some serious troubles. I hope this gives you some help. The fact is I am manic and I am bipolar, diagnosed for all my entire life. And the medications that I am on do not mirror yours. You do, in fact, take more. But here's the thing with psych meds. Here's the thing that everybody should know if they're on a psych med. They're the one medication in the world that, if they work, convince you don't need them.
Isn't that funny?
Yep.
It's so true.
Because all of a sudden you feel so normal, and everybody's telling you about the light you are to have around, and how much you've changed. And they tell you how much you changed, and they mean your personality.
Yes.
They don't mean you don't look sick to me.
Right.
They mean you look great to me. You look so you've been working out, lose some weight. So you think, why am I taking a handful of chemicals every morning? That's stupid. And the next thing you know, you're either robbing a bank or screaming or being clawed off the ceiling. So you should always take your meds. If there's a problem, continue to take them and talk to your doctor.
Yeah, Patrick, and you're playing around with the bipolar condition you have. As you said, you like the highs and you don't like the lows. Maybe they can adjust the Seroquel so you can be sort of a little bit more towards the highs that you like so much without the lid blowing off. Using it intermittently can begin to exaggerate the swings, and you can get into pretty big trouble pretty quickly. Yeah. John, what's up? Boy, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I just realized maybe why I love radio so much.
Mm.
I've never had a low while on the air. Ever.
Uh-huh.
It's always a party.
A
every time, every time.
John.
Yeah.
Here we are, buddy. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Daniel? Love you, buddy.
Thanks.
I have a question. I called a while back about you starting to use steroids, and I was concerned because I used to have anxiety.
Yep.
And you guys told me not to. I went ahead and did anyway.
Yeah.
Shocking.
I have a question about how long does it stay in your system?
Steroids? Why? Is somebody going to test you for them?
Well, maybe.
All right. You ready for the bad news?
Yeah.
Depending on what you use?
Right.
2 years.
Right. What'd you use?
I use Deca-Durbolin.
Deca stays around for a long time.
And as a steroid goes, not as something to abuse, but as a steroid goes, it's very good.
Yeah.
It's very powerful.
So it's going to be in for a while?
Well, are you using on a schedule? Is somebody helping you with this?
Say again?
Is someone that has knowledge of how to do cycles of steroids helping you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because when I did it, I went to the guy that sells them, and I said, I won't buy them unless you have a written schedule of what I'm supposed to do exactly when.
Now shoot me up in the bathroom.
Right. That's exactly how it happened. That's exactly how it happened. That's so funny. So if there is someone helping you out, right?
Oh, yeah. I have a few guys helping me out.
Right. And what is your question, then?
It's just how long does it stay in my system?
Up to 2 years.
I get drug tested here in about a year.
At a business?
Yeah.
They won't be looking for
them. They won't come up.
They're looking for opiates, man. They're looking for...
You get tested for pot, speed, opiates, cocaine, typically, and sometimes alcohol.
But the alcohol one's so funny when they try that.
The alcohol.
It's weird to say good luck because I don't want to help anybody facilitate what could be a problem, but good luck, man.
Whatever, yeah. So let's go to...
By the way, I really liked droids.
You kept telling me you're going back.
Not yet. Look at me. Not yet.
You look great. I mean,
I work out twice as hard.
I saw you a couple weeks ago, and you looked a little more. What's the what? You kind of sort of Do you look a little puffed up when you get steroids going? I thought I saw that.
I look a little puffed up when I walk in a radio station. Like,
no,
what's up, guys? Good to see you. No, when I'm around any other guy.
I thought I saw a little hint of that, and I thought, oh, boy.
Oh, no.
Good for you. That's good. Lily.
Hi. Dr. Drew.
Hey.
Well, I have a question. If you don't have sex for a long time, and you've had kids, and, well, you haven't had sex for a long time, did you, like, hole shrink? Your vagina.
There you go.
What do you mean shrink?
She means get smaller, get tighter. Will she get tighter, like when she was younger before she had children?
Not me, but...
Whoever.
No. Sex doesn't do really much of anything to your
vagina.
No,
the kids. Two kids coming out.
But the sex itself doesn't do much to the vagina. Having kids does a lot to the vagina.
Don't I know both those to be true?
A lot, okay? It tears apart the architecture of the vagina. That's right. Why one of the arguments in favor of cesarean section is to preserve the vaginal architecture.
Well, one of the great myths about birth is that it's beautiful. Oh, my God, it's horrifying. It looks, if you're down there at the busy end, it looks like Mick Jagger throwing up. That's what it looks like to me. That's what I saw.
Oftentimes, a little soft swirl coming around. A little poo in the mix, oftentimes. Yeah.
So it's not pretty either way, but I would imagine it would get smaller even no matter what if you didn't have sex, but I'm imagining.
Sex doesn't really affect it either way.
To make it go smaller?
Sex doesn't make it bigger, so it doesn't really help it get smaller.
Does the lack of sex help? Nope.
No, because sex doesn't do anything to it. It's just, it really almost anything, it's your age that, determines how much you spring back as much as anything, or how big the kid was, and or your own genetics and your own pelvic size. But the children are what really change the size of the vagina. Lily?
Lily? Yeah. Did you freak out on us?
No, it was someone else talking.
All right. Why? What's happening? Why do you ask that question?
Oh, well, we were just arguing. Because she was... we were just arguing about it. I said that not having sex for a long time wouldn't make you smaller, and she said it would.
No, not sex basically doesn't do anything.
So basically you and I were on the losing team on that one, because I agreed with you.
Not having or having doesn't do much of anything as compared to the tremendous changes that a baby can create, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right,
certainly.
Phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. He is Danny Bonaducci.
He's Dr. Drew.
This whole week. He's missing a tooth in front.
Hey, shut up, man.
And we'll be right back. Here we go, guys. Love line 1-800-LOVE-191. Danny Bonaducci joining us tonight. I'm Dr. Drew, and this is Kay. Okay.
Hi, Kay.
Hello, guys.
How you doing?
Hey, Kay, roll your window up or whatever it is you're doing.
Or stop running.
I am on my way to work. It is just how my car sounds.
Oh, my.
Okay.
I'm terribly sorry. I'm a working woman with one car.
What are you doing going to work this time of night?
I am actually a postpartum doula. I take care of rich people's babies while they sleep.
Wow.
I thought a doula was like somebody that helped deliver babies.
It's a great job. I love babies. The list is short of the things they need. And
I have a friend from the Middle East named Abdullah. Is that the same thing?
No, doula.
Yeah,
doula.
Okay. But I wanted to talk about erections.
Okay, I'll be doctors.
With you.
What's that? Now tell us.
I know it sounds funny, but my husband and I have been married for almost 14 years.
Right.
And he will still get an erection if I give him a certain look, no matter where we are or what we're doing.
Do you thank him?
Erect.
No, I know, but do you thank him for still being able to get an erection or sexually aroused because of the way you look at him? I've lost interest in women during the first date. You know, that's 14. Sorry, you were boys. But you should thank that man.
But you know what? Not only thank him,
I'm incredibly grateful.
Good.
He makes me feel special and beautiful and wonderful. And when we started going out, I was a stripper. And that was like 60 pounds ago. And he still looks at me the same way with that.
Every now and again, does he put a dollar in your underwear just to reminisce?
Have you had kids?
I think we dropped her. Yeah.
Oh, we lose Kay.
It was a bad cell phone. There's so much stuff there.
I know.
There's so much action. Call back.
Kay, please call back. Let me make sure she's not gone. Kay.
Oh. He gets an erection when he looks at me. So do the 20 other guys sitting around the table.
But she said it was 60 pounds ago.
Yeah, no. But I've seen that before. There are guys, and I think you'll back me up on this because I've only heard it. When you say it, it will be certified. There are guys that try to fatten up their women to make them less attractive to other men.
Yes, guys do all kinds of weird stuff. Yeah. They will go for women that look a certain way because of fear of them straying or other guys getting onto them,
right,
and stuff like that. And or they'll try to change them once they've got them.
So just to be crass, if you will, for a moment, they go for the ugly chick because they'll feel safer. Mm-hmm. Where I go for the ugly chick because it's close to two. You know, when they say last call.
Two in the morning.
Yeah, when they say last call, the big girl gets nice.
Jennifer.
Yeah. Hi.
What's happening?
So the caller from earlier, she said that, and you said that, whatchamacallit, you having sex doesn't have anything to do with your vagina.
It doesn't change your vagina, particularly as compared to what childbearing does.
Well, because, I don't have sex very often. So, when I do, it feels.
That is anxiety. That's because you're nervous and you've been anxious and you get
but you could feel it.
Jennifer, you get the muscles tighten up. That's
right.
That's totally different than the architecture actually being expanded.
It's a really good skill if you can learn to do this on purpose.
It's to tighten it down?
Uh-huh.
That's the old Kegel exercise.
Right,
but
exactly.
I'm going to just see if Kay is... Oh, Kay's gone. God.
You love Kay.
Kay was... Oh, I just want... There's so much story that I wanted to hear. 50 yeah. years of stripper.
Maybe we had gained 60 pounds.
Now she's a postpartum doula. It's like, what the hell? What happened to this woman?
She comes over with her own little portable pole, teaches your kid a skill.
All right, this is back to the guys that like to... that are afraid of where their women are going. Lisa.
Hi.
Hey there.
Okay, so... I've been with my boyfriend for a year, and when we first started going out, the sex was really good, and it still is, but, lately, he's been saying that I've been cheating on him because I feel loose, but I don't cheat on him, and I don't know where he's, getting that from.
I don't either.
Why don't you tell him? Why don't you look him square in the face, because there's no boy that likes this. I'm not getting bigger, you're getting smaller.
That, or maybe you're more comfortable and lubricating more, it makes it feel like there's less, tightness, or you're more relaxed, and so it makes it a bit... people have such bizarre misconceptions about this.
You know what, the misconception is one thing. That man looked at you and said, you have a big vagina. Them's fighting words. No, don't take that from him.
Patulous. We call that
patulous.
Patulous vagina.
I heard that Patulous has a big vagina.
What's that, Lisa?
Well, I don't know. I don't know why, but he really is convinced, and it's just
is he doing drugs? Sounds like a drug addict move to me.
That's interesting.
Yeah. No, he's not. But
he's not? Now he's not, but he has a history of that?
Yeah, he used to.
What drug, if you don't mind my asking?
Cocaine.
There you go.
Yeah, you know why I say that?
Paranoia might be slipping.
Right, because it's a little paranoid and it's a little bit of a smokescreen. You know, when you start getting people on the defensive, it takes the focus off you. And so that sounds so bizarre. It sounds like an addict move to me.
This is not the worst thing I've ever done, but I'm still ashamed of it because it was so weird and embarrassing because this girl was a nice kid. We were very young. I was just wasted on coke. And out of nowhere, and I remember it distinctly, I decided that she was stealing from me. To try, not just to get my money, but to try and drive me crazy.
You sure it wasn't speed you were on?
No, it was definitely.
That sounds like a speed.
No.
They've been selling you?
There's a level you reach after a while with blow doc.
Yeah,
everything kind of melts and comes together.
Well, but cocaine addicts mostly obsess about uniformed officers. They don't get so freaked out by people around them. Speed addicts get freaked out by people
around
them.
You're going to make me admit this. Not if you're smoking it.
No, and you're smoking it even. We smoke. But go ahead. Tell me.
That's it. That's the whole thing. I looked at a very nice girl and insisted she was a thief and stealing from me. It was you wake up the next day or whatever, 3 days later when you finally go to bed, and you look at this girl, and no matter what shape you were in when you set it, and it'll always be out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was awful.
Well, when you're addicted to, you're not ready to admit to... having been delusional or admit that you were wrong or anything, you're too busy going on to the next drug, right?
Exactly.
You're just going on. We're not going to
I think I said sorry on the way back down to the hood.
I think I told you, still my... It's in my favorite still cocaine story is Tom Arnold's, where he said he was doing, I don't think he smoked, he was just doing tons of intranasal cocaine.
Right.
And he locked himself in the bathroom, there were police outside, but there weren't, but he convinced himself there were. And he was looking at the FBI, watching him through the mirror, but of course nobody was there. And they were telling him to take the white part of his eye and pull it out and cut it with some scissors. And he was literally grabbing it and ready to cut it when someone banged on the door and, you know, came in.
Tom trying to outdo Dan.
Nice. That's good, right?
That's a good one.
That's a good story. I want you to think of some stories maybe we'll sort of rank up there with me so I can carry that with me.
The second you said it, I assumed I had already told one.
All right. Because I want to carry Danny's story with me just the way I carry Tom's story.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, fair enough. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the phone number. Give us a call. Talk to Danny. Talk to Drew. We'll be right back after this. Here we go. We're back on Loveline. And they had Danny and I were kind of spouting out about Promita.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, which is this new thing you see Chris Farley's face all over. And I have grave, grave concerns about this thing and that it is terribly expensive and there are no placebo-controlled studies to show that it does anything.
They gave me something. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And I'm just of the opinion that there will never be a pill to cure
from
drugs. There will be things to help you and to change your brain drive systems and the point we won't be so overcome by it. But look, there are reasons that people begin using drugs even before they get addicted. And those things need to be dealt with. And there's S that happens to your brain because of the drugs. And there's S that happens to your life because of being an addict. Mm. All that needs to be dealt with as well. And that is tremendous amount of psychological.
If you think he's passionate now, kids, you should have seen him during the break. I don't think I've ever heard you use the F word before.
You scared me. I scared you a little bit. You're backing off a little bit.
Look at the vein on your arm. It's all sticking out.
I'm just saying, I work in the field of addiction all the time, and I really feel very strongly and deeply about the disease and about, you know, how people with the disease have been mistreated through history and how they're taken advantage of and exploited in their search for desperation to get better. And, boy, it's something that takes a lot of time.
I'll tell you, to be honest with you, because the first thing I thought to say to you, because I thought it'd be kind of funny, is that if anybody knew had burst in the door at that particular moment, they'd have thought you were the crazy one, which would have just made me laugh. But really, though, I have to tell you, when you were talking about addicts, and you guys should just know this about him, I would align it the closest to talking about your own kids or something, or relatives. You had everybody's best interest at heart. That's kind of neat.
When you work it, you feel it, I'm too focused on other people. That's my pathology.
Is that your problem?
Let's go back. But with that in mind, let's go back to Kay, who was delighting me with her stripper story and all that stuff. Remember
Did Kay go back?
Kay came back.
I'm loving Kay.
So, Kay. Oh, when
so
you're in a landline. You're in a better phone. I appreciate that.
I'm on a better phone now.
So, Kay, go ahead.
No, you go ahead, please.
Your story just intrigued the hell out of me. You were a stripper 15 years ago, met your husband. Was he I guess what you call him?
Customer.
Customer. Yeah, I was going to say
He was not a customer.
Okay.
He was not a customer.
And did he get you to stop stripping?
I met him at a comic book store.
Oh, so you went from a customer to a geek. Perfect.
He's a complete nerd. He's wonderful. But, I mean, I blew him away. He'd never seen anybody like me in his whole life, and he was so incredibly appreciative. And something most women don't know about nerds is that they really try harder in bed. So he won, you know, the poll of, you know, best I'd ever had.
The one you used to dance on?
Pardon me?
The pole you used to dance on?
Well, no, be fair. I was a stripper. It wasn't like I didn't have any experience.
You know what? I don't want to out this person, so I won't say a role in my life. Even if I say my best friend, it's obvious. I have very strong relationship and friendship and feelings for a stripper.
Okay.
For an ex-stripper.
It's a good thing.
It's what?
It's a good thing. Most strippers are fairly intelligent and doing something in the interim between something else.
Yeah, I think the last chick that gave me a lap dance was going for her master's.
Exactly. So, you know, now, of course, obviously I'm in a different place in my life. But, you know, my husband still responds to me the same way he did the first time he met me.
Where did the 60 pounds come from?
Oh, well, you know, 15 years and a child and the whole bit. Okay.
Yeah, so you have one child?
Just one, but I gained 65 pounds while I was pregnant, so.
And lost a whopping 5 since then.
Nice.
No, but it's gone up and down. But you know what? His responses, you know,
the way he feels about me is that my response to him has not changed. And so that's what he's excited by.
You're enthusiastic about him.
I'm going to tell you, if he truly, if it's not for your self-esteem and or health, and he doesn't care, because I've been on and off diets my whole life. That's how I ended up on roids. You know, I just couldn't control my weight. I wouldn't bother. If I had somebody that reacted to me that strongly, I would not deprive myself. But I think that's my pathology. I just don't deprive myself.
The only reason that I'm going through the effort now to lose a little weight is that we'd like to have another child, and I don't want to gain another 60 pounds on top of this.
Well, that, it's not healthy. It is.
Right, exactly. But okay. I weigh very well. I'm of German peasant stock.
It's right, and in the meantime, you're a postpartum child caretaker, basically. You call it a doula.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. And do you tell do you think your clients or your child would have any issue with your work as
my
a stripper? Yeah, just curious.
Well, you know, my close friends know, and my clients don't, but I'm not ashamed of anything I've done.
Okay.
Nor should you be. Well, unless you've done something shameful. I'm ashamed of lots of stuff I've done that just doesn't keep me up.
Right. I've done a little bit of porn, a little bit of stripping,
Wait. You've done a little bit of porn?
When I was very young, yes, I did a little.
Oh, well, that was as long as you were 14, and that's so much better. So much better.
I was 18 and 19 when I
But wait, well, 18 and 19 means you did it for a year. There's no such animal as a little porn. If you've had sex with somebody you don't particularly know in exchange for money on film and or videotape, you've done all the porn you need to.
Now, I'm going to make a little prediction about the husband.
Yes.
Does he spend a little time on the Internet?
No. He doesn't like porn at all. He does not like porn. He's totally into me. I've offered any number of things, and he's
just
into
me. See, Danny and I both get a sense that this guy may have another life he leads a little bit somewhere. I was hoping it was beyond the Internet. Maybe somewhere.
Do you know what he does do?
Uh-oh.
He plays games. He does, like, the EverQuest online gaming. And we do pen and paper role-playing games, like Dungeons and Dragons.
Maybe he's just a full-blown geek. He likes it that way. She likes it that way. You may not have a problem here.
No, he's an uber nerd, and we're very, very happy raising a little nerdling of our own.
How old is your child?
She's 6.
All right. Good time.
Yeah, you're cool.
And you're at your place of work now?
Yeah, I just got here. Thank you guys so much for
having me. Are you taking care of multiples or singlets, or what are you doing there?
Right. Tonight it's just one, but I do also take care of twins.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, God bless you. Thank you. And enjoy.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful night.
You too. Wonderful young lady.
But, you know, it's just that, you know, you got to sort of size up humans and, you know, what attracts and what doesn't. And the guy that would be okay with all that.
Right.
No matter how uber the nerd, would still have to carry his own baggage in order to relinquish. You know what I mean?
No, because I don't relinquish. So I know maybe what you mean about an abstract guy, but my wife was just having a conversation with me about before we got
you
married.
Couldn't, that's the point. You couldn't let go.
She had lunch with a bouncer. She mentioned that the other day, a passing thing in a store. She had lunch with this bouncer.
Well, I remember we had the boyfriend.
It was
boyfriend.
A week ago.
We had a guy from Arizona call here last time. You almost went out of your mind.
I did almost go out of my mind.
but imagine what it takes as a male. You're a nerd, and you're going to let go of the fact, hey, wife's a little porn, ash is a striper. What are you going to do? It's there's sort of scale there a guy has in his head. You know, it's just something. There's something going on with that guy. I don't know what it is.
See, I would have less problem of that than being with a boyfriend and having baggage from a real boyfriend that you really loved. So I don't like that, giving away the love. I'd be okay with that much more than less okay with that than I'd be a stripper. Okay. Unless you did it for money, good enough, smart kid.
All right, Renee.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Renee from Maryland.
And Renee, what's your question? Here we go.
I used to date a guy who was 32 years old when I was 17.
Yeah.
I don't know why I would have done that.
Normally,
you had a car.
Desperate for attention. You were flattered that this older guy was into you.
Mad at your dad.
Yeah. All kinds of reasons that 17-year-olds do that. They're not good reasons, but there are the reasons.
I think a better question is, why would he do that? Well, I know a certain motivation, but it's not good, it's not healthy, and I don't think it's legal.
Here, and here she is at 18 going, Oh, my God, 32. What kind of a-hole would that be? And you're only 1 year closer to 32. Wait till you're 32 and think about who that guy is. Just a, he's just a scumbag.
Well, he was my dad's friend.
Oh, that makes it so much sweeter.
Does your dad know?
He kind of found out. I mean, I'm not anymore. I used to, but...
Well, what, you know, it's a bad impulse. Was your dad kind of a bad guy?
He's not a bad guy. I mean, I guess he's an alcoholic. He smokes crack, but I mean, he's not really
a bad guy. Just drug crackhead.
Severe drug addict. All right.
Once you're a crackhead, though, you don't just sit around and, you know, you're somebody, he smokes crack. He's done really bad stuff, went out of his mind on crack.
Of course. And Renee's had to live through that, and that was terrorizing. And the amazing thing about the human, of course, as I've said again and again, things that terrorize us during childhood are the source of attraction in young adulthood.
Absolutely.
And so Dad was this terrorizing guy, and he was a crackhead, an a-hole, and now you got to have that guy. That's what you're attracted to, and that's where that came from, Renee. Let's break that cycle, please. And if you can't, get some therapy, please. This is Kayla.
Hello?
Hey, Kayla.
Hi. Okay. So I'm 18, almost 19, and I've been with my boyfriend for over 2 years. He's 21. And when we first started having sex, I was a virgin. So I wasn't completely comfortable telling him, like, what I wanted, I guess.
Right.
And now that we've been together for a while, like, I am completely comfortable. And we don't have sex as much as we used to. Like, I understand that after time, it does slow down.
How often are you doing it now?
Maybe, like, twice a month.
Ooh, my.
Okay, that's under the national average.
Yes.
Yeah, and, like, I want it almost, like, I could, you know, want it every day.
Do you ask him?
Yeah, and the reason he told me is that when we first started having sex, it was more wild and, like, spontaneous, I guess. And, like, now, since I'm comfortable telling him what I want, it seems like I'm trying to, like, give him orders.
That's BS.
It is BS, because I'll tell you what, that's a fantasy for guys. Really, to be, I mean, not to be pushed around, that's a fantasy for some particular guy.
Yeah.
But I'm talking your average Joe.
Tab a woman.
Love your girl going little... Oh, yeah. A little to the left, baby. Or, I sexed out myself.
Direction and or to be enthusiastic about him.
I'll tell you another thing that boys, especially at that age, really like. If you help.
Right.
If you've got a spot on yourself that you really like and he's not hitting it from where he is, if you touch it, his head will explode.
So, Kayla, why can't you? If he just won't respond is the problem. You're busy asking for what you want. You're being assertive. And he doesn't respond. Maybe this thing has run its course, or maybe this is just this guy's natural sort of rhythm, and it's not at all consistent with yours, and he's not willing to compromise.
Well, he does what I want, but it's just like
not frequently enough, though.
Yeah,
and that's bad. He should try to at least he could double down for you.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, once a week would not be that big a deal.
Mm-hmm. And still under the national average. Mm-hmm. I looked all these things up when I was explaining to my wife how infrequently we have sex. So I looked up, do you know how sex the most? By the way, the Germans. I'll get back to you.
So 1.5 times a week in this country, isn't it?
Right, yeah. Twice a week in Germany.
Mm-hmm. Would it have anything to do with, like, his brother died and, like, after that, he kind of, like, his feelings kind of got shut off?
Yeah, maybe he may still be depressed.
How old is he?
21.
See, I just don't get it.
It's hard to shut a 21-year-old down.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is hard to shut a 21-year-old down.
I don't mean to be cruel, but if his brother died while having sex with you, he should still want to do it.
Yeah, it's tough. He may be getting depressed. Is he on medication?
No.
You know, Kayla, it's between you and he. He's got his reasons. He's got his rhythm going on here, and is affected, I'm sure, by his mood. But if this thing isn't working, it is okay to end relationships at 18. They're not supposed to go on forever.
You've been dating him since you were 16 or 17. He's not the guy. Either is the next guy. Possibly the guy after that guy's the guy.
Possibly. Wes.
Hi. I have a weird question. A friend of mine was talking about how he was practicing something called the rhythm method with his girlfriend, and that didn't work.
Yeah.
Good. Do you know what that is?
No, I was just wondering if that, like, really works, or
do you know what it is?
Not really.
Okay.
Okay, I believe it is trying to time sex when she is not the most at the most fertile time. It's
correct.
Trying to gauge around certain cycles of her period, if
right.
I'm not mistaken. Right,
trying to avoid ovulation. Most pregnancy, the sperm waits for an average of about up to 72 hours for an egg to be released. Most pregnancies occur within 12 hours of the egg being released, but again, there's a three-day window there the sperm can kind of sit around, up to 5 days, frankly. So you want to avoid, you know, those periods, those week or two in the middle, and right. You can have sex around the other sides of it.
It's also not particularly successful.
Not successful. That's correct.
Withdrawal is more successful, and that's not successful.
Also not successful because of pre-ejaculate. So what's the question, Wes?
Would it be even more unpredictable in, like, a teenage girl?
It can be because a lot of teenage women have very irregular periods. They just haven't had normal cycling.
It's not even a real question. Everything's irregular with a teenage girl. Life is irregular with a teenage girl.
True.
Okay, so I would say at the very least, if maybe her parents don't want to find out she's on birth control, whatever, condom's your answer, man.
All right, cool. Thanks.
Yeah, what's wrong with the condom, buddy? What's that? Why would you not?
No, I've got no problem there. A friend of mine said he was
friend.
Doing it.
Yes,
it
this
didn't
friend.
Work for him, and I'm not about to try. I was just curious.
All right, fair enough. This is Kathy.
Hi.
Hey, Kathy.
By the way, I highly recommend you do not get glow-in-the-dark condoms, as funny as you think they are.
They tend to break you easily.
They break, and they leave weird stuff, so all of a sudden your girl looks like an alien.
No.
Yes, don't do it, man.
Oh, my God. Kathy.
The flavored ones are much better.
There's the mint flavor, the mint tingle.
Mint banana.
Banana flavor.
Anyway, I'm an addict, and I've noticed, especially with meth, that we've gone on for 12-hour sessions where... And what I'm wondering is how do you get back to sex after you sober up?
Well, that's an interesting question that you ask. A lot of people think that certain drugs bring on sex or sexual drives. And in the beginning, I remember cocaine bringing on a sexual drive. And after a little while, you become completely incapable of sex. Even if you can, in fact, get an erection, that's the end of your ability right there. You're certainly not going to finish anything. And then often as not, you get to the embarrassing moment of you can no longer maintain an erection because your body is just poisoned with cocaine. So I would suggest that you will get back to the sex... Because the body, as I was just talking to Dr. Drew about this, is a remarkable thing how resilient the human body is. And you will know if you're actually stone cold sober when you want to again. And it will, unless you've permanently damaged something in your brain, it will come back to you naturally.
I get depressed. This is the problem. I've been trying to get off it for a while. And I'll be okay for about 3 weeks. And then I'll get into this depression. And the only thing
that wants to
get me out of it is meth.
All right, well, the problem is there's two reasons you get into depression. One is that meth damages your brain.
I'm on Effexor. I've been on Effexor for quite a while.
Well, okay, there's three problems here. A, meth damages your brain, and so when you get off the meth, there are no cells there to produce the chemicals that maintains your mood, so naturally your mood plummets. If you go back on the speed, you're going down the path of further brain destruction and more depression. Antidepressant medication can suppress your libido and make you not want to have sex. And Effexor is one of those medicines that potentially could. And thirdly, an addict who is trying to white-knuckle abstinence and not in recovery always gets panicky and depressed.
Right.
It's impossible to do that without the support of peers. So get yourself into NA. Talk to your doctor about maybe Wellbutrin or switching your medicine. Actually, Wellbutrin may even be more appropriate for you given the kinds of damage that occurs from methamphetamine. And let's work on the life-threatening part of what's going on with you, and the sex will follow, as Danny said.
Right. And by the way, for personal damage and prolonged damage, it seems to be the tweakers are the worst I've seen.
Right.
I still have to stand strong. I know everybody thinks like there's way worse drugs. I think alcohol is the bad one.
Hmm?
You have a couple of drinks, you're all loosened up, and then you do almost anything. Let's try this drug. Let's drive that. Let's drive down the street in a 2,000-pound weapon. Hmm. Let's have sex with that girl unprotected. I think alcohol starts any ball rolling and is by far the most dangerous drug out there.
Rick.
Oh, hey, how's it going?
Good, what's happening?
Nothing. This question is for Mr. Donabucci.
Close enough, right? What's up?
Donabucci?
Oh,
I'll take it.
Yeah, all right. My
it beats Botafogo, and I get that a lot.
That's funny. Well, I was I got married to my wife. It was last June 5th.
Married to your wife.
Got it.
Yeah, and... And, like, around June, she said that her visa was expiring and stuff, and I didn't know she was here as a, you know, as a visitor or something, so I decided to help her, you know, get married so she could, like, get her green card or something.
Right.
And now that she's gotten, like, her paper documents and travel documents and, like, all this stuff, I mean, she's been cold to me and stuff, and she told me that she doesn't love me, and she just used me for my paperwork, and it's been a year now and stuff, and it's like, I don't know what to do.
You've been married to her for a year?
Yeah.
Are you sure, and she only married you for a green card?
Well, it's going to be a year in this June.
Okay, so let's assume that you don't like her anymore because she said that to you, because if all your information is correct, she is absolutely screwed. She's not getting a green card for 2 more years.
Just to live with it for 2 years.
She jumps out of this relationship and goes to another country since 9/11. They're not going to let her back in. She opened her big, fat, commie mouth 2 years early.
Oh, man. But the thing is, you know, I mean, the first maybe 7 months were great and stuff. And now, like recently, she went back to Canada, where she's from, and she came back to the U.S., and, like, we're barely having sex and stuff. She told me that she was only using me for my paperwork, like about 2 months.
Was this in a fight, or do you believe her? Was she mad?
Well, yeah, she's gotten pissed off, and, like...
What was she mad about?
Well, the thing is, I told her that I love her and stuff, and I thought we were getting married because, you know, because of love and stuff. But
Rick, you told me, as you told the story, you said you were just trying to help her out to get a green card.
Well, That's how you told the story. I mean, we were dating for like about 6 months, and
in a way, you deceived her a little bit. Maybe you knew she wasn't in love with you, and you coerced her into it by holding out the possibility of helping her with her immigration problems.
No, well, the thing is, when I found out about the visa and stuff, it was around April and stuff that her visa was going to expire, but. Before that, I mean, I knew her and stuff, and I thought,
All right, what is the question? What do you want from us?
Yeah, what is the question?
What do you want from us?
I think we can help you.
Well, okay, the thing is, what do I do? I mean, like, I don't know. I feel like I'm being used and stuff, and I thought, you know...
Are you in love with her?
Yeah, he said he was.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are? Well, then you're screwed here, because there's only two ways to go here. Carry this through and get screwed 2 years from now when she gets your green card and leaves you.
Or just get over now.
Or just get over the second you leave her, the second you file for divorce. Or you want to be the super whammy worst guy ever and just trump her evil ways? Hang in for the whole 3 years. And when you go in for the grueling test, where they ask questions like, what color is her toothbrush? What's her favorite meal? What's her license plate number? What side of the bed does she sleep on? Who goes to the bathroom first in the morning, you or she? When they ask you those, just fail every question and say, I don't know. And they'll kick her out of the country.
And you can just end it now, too. You really
can.
Yeah, but
I like being really cruel. I know some girl says, I'm just using you, and here's no more sex. I don't burn the house to the ground, but I'm never booted.
Again, remember, I always try to sort of interpret what our callers present us with, because it is Rick's point of the story. It's like, he said, we're barely having sex. And she's now saying, I'm not really that in love with you. I was just doing it for the card, which he originally presented as the reason he offered her marriage.
Right.
So in a way, he sort of presented her with that. He set it up that way. So he's had a role to play in all this, too.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
But I'm just telling his personal options of cruelty. Plus, who marries a Canadian for a green card? How not exotic are you? There's a Southeast Asian out there waiting to get into this country. You could have gone that direction.
Rick's got a lot more time left.
Cook her a steak. Yeah. She'll love you for the rest of your life.
Phone, that's Danny Bonaducci, of course. Phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. Breaking Bonaducci coming back in October. Learning Annex for Danny. We're going to find out when and where tomorrow night when he comes back in and gives us that information.
I'll have a tooth by then for sure.
By tomorrow?
Yeah.
Well, wow.
Oh, I'm not leaving my house till I find a dentist will get this goober look off my face.
What he's talking about is he's got the Alfred E. Newman look going. He's lost one of his front teeth here.
Just so goopy. My wife's been calling me Cletus.
In a toenail accident. I'm just saying. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Danny Drew will be right back. That's right. Danny Bonaducci in here, and that's Mr. Enthusiasm Anderson on the other end of my mic.
Is that
Anderson? Anderson, how's it going, buddy? Anderson?
Come on. It's Sunday, Drew. I don't do Sundays.
Oh, Anderson, you sound so depressed.
Yeah, just
you
down.
Okay?
I did a bunch of coke all week, and I'm coming down.
all right, well, you don't sound like that either, really.
You know what I remember about Anderson most? We're talking, we're asking questions back and forth, and he goes, So did you ever get drunk and just beat your wife? And I just thought, who the hell's Anderson? I have to hunt him down and kill him.
No, I didn't say to get drunk. You were talking about this fugue state that you go into when you fire people that you don't even remember firing. You have no...
That don't work for me.
And then I said, yeah, do you ever beat your wife when you're in that state? And you got
very upset. I fired her on a couple of occasions.
But you said that you don't remember anything that's going on, so anything's possible.
No, that's not true. I would wake up and my wife would have been gone with a nasty note saying, hey, I'm drunk and beat me. What, are you crazy?
He could have done that. He didn't, thank God. I did an interview with his daughter, though, and his daughter said one time he
beat
banged
his daughter?
His head. No, he beat himself up in front of his daughter to prove to him, I don't remember what.
I think she said she was worried about me. Everybody was.
And you were smashing your head into a wall because you were indestructible or something.
That's exactly right. I said, I can't get hurt. And I went wham into a concrete wall, and damn if the wall didn't lose. I don't know if that calmed her down any, Dad smashing his face into hard things.
Olga.
Hi.
Hey there.
My question is, I had intercourse on Friday, right, whatever. But the thing is that my partner's condom came off, and the semen went all over me, inside of me, you know?
Yep.
And I'm wondering, like, I was planning on getting the Plan B pill.
Good, but, right away.
Very smart.
But the thing is that all the doctors were closed, and I couldn't get it anywhere. So what I did, I took the morning after pill.
And that is Plan B. Plan B is
that
the morning
is Plan B.
I'm sorry?
The morning after pill is Plan B. You're fine.
Oh, okay. Is that the birth control thingy? Is that what it's... Because I really don't know much about
that. Olga, what are you talking about? What did you take? Exactly what did you take?
Did you take vitamin B?
No, I took the birth control pill.
What birth control pill?
It's called Nixon, I think it's called. I'm not sure.
Called what?
Nixon.
You took a pill named after a dead president?
No.
And how did you get your hands on that, but you couldn't on Plan B?
Well, the doctor prescribed it to me, like probably a month ago.
I'm very confused, Olga. Are you supposed to be
Olga.
Are you supposed to be on birth control every day?
I'm supposed to be, but I'm not taking it properly.
So as a way of trying to sort of catch up, you just took a pill after the intercourse?
Yeah.
Sometimes some of the pills you can actually do that with, but how many pills you take is determined by what pill you were taking. I mean, some of the triphasic pills can be taken that way. A less can be taken that way. There's norethindrone is what we're looking for.
How long have you been dating this guy?
For like a year already.
Okay. This is a two-part question, because the second part is, did the condom come off inside you?
Yeah.
Okay, because not only A, yes, you can get pregnant, but B, you better know the guy that's helping you find it really intimately. That's the most embarrassing, weird-ass thing I've ever been through. Is that it?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's an organ. Leave that where it was. Push that right,
cervix. Did you get the
condom? Dr. Bonaducci at your cervix.
Did you get the condom out?
Yeah, I did.
Because that's another thing. It's going to predispose to toxic shock syndrome, leaving it in. All right, here's the deal. A, people got to remember, use condom properly. Proper use is checking to make sure it's still on and then holding on to it as you pull out because it can come off very easily at
that
point.
Here's where a problem is. After they've used it a couple of times, they stop doing this. You need to roll it as far down as it will go. We all know it's going to hurt when it pulls those five or six hairs out with it when you roll it off. Too bad.
Right.
The ramifications of going, oh, a hair, are not the same as impregnating a young lady you don't want to impregnate.
Good point. And Olga, most states, I'm not sure about Colorado, that's where you're calling from, have a morning after pill available without a prescription. Their pharmacies, most pharmacies have arrangements with doctors where you can get it without a prescription. If you need to find a pharmacy, any of you other who are listening that need this, it's 1-888-NOT-TOO-LATE, not the number 2, late. Okay. And you can then get to the morning after pill. And so when did this happen that the condom fell off?
On Friday.
Friday, so we're almost,
it was really yesterday because it was like 2 in the morning.
All right, you basically have a 72-hour window to get that morning after pill. So you took something. I doubt it's going to be enough. Go ahead and get the morning after pill tomorrow morning, and that'll be that, okay?
From a doctor or from a pharmacy?
Either way, whatever you can
just go get it at a pharmacy.
You call around tonight. I don't know about Colorado, but not too late is the number you call.
A lot of Rite Aids are open 24 hours, too, by the way.
Yeah, why not check it out?
How's the morning after? The morning after pill we used to refer to as a hair of the doggy style.
Who's we?
Well, me and my friends that drank a lot and would need a hair of the dog in the morning and need the after pill.
Tamara.
Yeah.
Hi.
You're on with Danny Bonaducci.
And Dr. Drew.
Hi. Okay, well, Dr. Phil.
What's that?
Hmm?
Go ahead.
Okay, so I'm married.
At 17?
At 17.
How long have you been married?
7 months.
Sheesh.
Yeah, I'm cheating part.
She's okay. Cheating? Yeah, or they're
no,
both cheating.
No, I'm not. No. I've been with my husband for, let's see, we started dating a little over 2 years ago.
How old is he?
He's 18.
Sheesh.
Woo. And so, I know, you know, we'll get into the whole, you know, I'm young, you know, that's too early kind of thing. But that's, you know, I know you're going to talk about that, but that's kind of not what I'm calling about.
Right.
He's in basic training right now. And, you know, about very, very early in the relationship, like, we were together for, like, a month. And both of us actually had cheated on each other.
I told you.
So, you know, I mean, at that point, and, you know, it had never happened again. It was very light, like I didn't sleep with the guy or anything like that.
Light cheating.
Very,
well, it was, like, I mean.
All the cheating with half the calories.
Twice. And
I know Danny has all those sorts of, what are they called, technicalities.
Yeah,
of course. Hey, Danny doesn't care if it's cheating light.
As long as I'm the one that's cheating.
Danny almost flew to Arizona to kill a guy last time he was on this show.
because he said he had lunch with my wife.
He said he knew his wife.
But, I mean,
all right, so what is, in fact, your question?
Well, he's in basic training right now, and he is incredibly worried that something's going to happen. And like
that you're going to cheat while he's away?
Yeah. And, like, I guess there's a lot of guys that he's in training with that have found out that, like, their wives have cheated on them in the 4 months that they've been gone, which I think is amazingly pathetic.
It's also unpatriotic, and I'm not kidding.
Well,
cheat on a guy in the armed forces, especially if I were at war.
Mm. Well, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't dream of doing it anyway, but I think...
Tamara, what's your question, though? What can we do for you?
I'm trying to find out, like, how, especially with being so far away, if there's really anything you think I could do to just make him feel better.
Well, this is a rough one, because I've got to tell you that I worry about... Now, my wife is a fundamentalist Christian and just wouldn't cheat, but I've really come to terms with that maybe the last 3 years that she would not.
Yeah.
She's been the same woman for the other 13 years that we were married, and I've panicked she'll cheat all the time. And I actually cheat, or have, on more than one occasion.
What's the funny thing about people that are panicked about somebody cheating? They tend to be the ones that would do the cheating.
It's a reflection of your own behavior, absolutely.
Because you can't believe that they wouldn't cheat, because if you were them, you would cheat.
Plus, don't forget that part of... Is it Tamara?
Yeah.
Part of Tamara's problem is going to be that he's going to end up in some exotic country where there are women who, in fact, are there to do nothing but service the military. You're going to start to not only think but assume that he's cheating on you and then therefore have a right to behave any way you wish.
Maybe.
Well, of course, everything's maybe.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the way you would think.
Right, well, my wife would know.
Yeah.
My wife thinks I might cheat if I take a drive into the valley.
Right.
I don't have to go to a foreign country.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you can do to make him feel better, because of his age and his gender and the fact that you've both done it before, I think he's going to worry the whole time.
Okay.
Doc, can you beat that? Because mine's kind of a negative.
You know, it's not unreasonable what you're saying, because the 18 guy's got a lot of energy and his testosterone's all pumped up and he's talking to guys that are making him feel bad. And those same guys are going to be persuading him when he's overseas, oh, you got to do this because, you know, your wife's cheating anyway, and you can get him all angry and loaded and whatever, and he'll make bad choices. Hopefully he won't, Tamara. Again, we're just worst case scenario.
Right.
All you can do, listen, there's only so much you can do. And I think at a certain point, you got to step up to the guy and go, hey, look, I'm not cheating. That's it.
Right.
Be really firm, like cut it out. He sort of needs his chain pull a little bit. Like stop, cut it out.
Okay.
And, you know, are you trying to make me cheat? You're going to create a situation where I'll cheat? It's still not going to happen. Just stop it.
I think that's really sound advice.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, because at some point he's calling her a liar, and she doesn't have to accept that.
Yeah, and if you're firm and not sort of, if you're not sort of, you know, kowtowing to his sort of paranoid demands, like trying to defend yourself as opposed to, hey, cut it out.
Yeah, you have no right. Stop it.
Stop it. This
right.
is this.
Right.
Dee Dee.
Yes?
You're on with Danny Bonaducci.
And Dr. Drew.
Hi.
Hi.
Look, I'm calling from Compton. How you doing?
We're good.
Danny Bonaducci, I just wanted you to know how much I have loved you since you were a kid, how much you meant to me when I was young, and it has been on my heart ever since I first heard that you tried to destroy yourself with drugs and everything. That didn't you know how much we loved you? Didn't you know how much you meant to us?
Wow. I hate to answer your question this way, but no.
Well, you kind of did, because the audience is so important to you.
Right, but I didn't know I was important to them. I'm a show. God. I'm a commodity.
Right.
You know, no. I just knew that this is I get to do, for a living, my wildest dream, and I'm successful. I'm making my rent every week, every month, by doing what I love the most, that I actually, it's probably an unhealthy love that I have for this industry. It's what has sustained me my whole life. And
exactly.
I didn't know I was important to anybody else. I just knew they were important to me.
You're important to Dee Dee.
Apparently, I am important to Dee Dee.
It wasn't just me. Like, you were the most loved kid in America when you were on the Partridge Family.
Right.
And it was like, we're running home every day to see you, to see your show, to see you.
I'd heard that we're huge in Compton.
The cutest red-headed little sucker. You know, I grew up with you in my heart, and my God, you're still a superstar to me. And I know a lot of celebrities. I did a few TV shows. I write for magazines. I know a lot of celebrities, but you were special. You still are.
Well, thank you, Dee Dee. I really do appreciate that a great deal. And I do take that into account with my sobriety now, which I never did before, that there are people I feel in some way responsible to not go ahead and ruin my life. I just was not one of them.
Well, also taking in positive sorts of affective messages, lack of a better way of saying it, sort of input from other people can be nourishing in a way that if you don't let it in, keeps you sort of isolated and that keeps your disease going. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
It's a way of connecting with other people in a dialogue that's positive.
Well, the neighborhood's been gentrified, but I used to score right near here. And I'm not going tonight, mostly because Dee Dee called.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
but right there across the street, it used to be nasty, man.
Here.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
This used to be a tough neighborhood, but behind Venice Boulevard, absolutely.
Uh-huh. And you know what? And I'm listening to your show, and all of these young, confused kids calling, I think they have no idea who you are.
Right. And that actually, I like that, to be honest with you. I like that. It's nice if somebody calls up and appreciates my work, but when somebody calls up and says, I have no idea who you are, and tells me their problem, and I just get to go off with my personal beliefs, which makes that safe because there's a doctor in the room.
It's also you and your real life experience being shared, right? Not you as Partridge Family guy. It's you as
I don't know how that would serve me on Loveline. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm the guy from the Partridge Family. Remember when I was 10? Because I'm going to really give you sound advice now. I was wearing the red velvet suit, remember? I'm really helpful.
Playing the tambourine?
Yeah.
Drums.
Bass.
Bass, I beg your pardon.
But it doesn't matter. I wasn't playing any of them.
1-800-LOVE-191 is our phone number. Danny Bonaducci is the guest. He'll be in here the rest of the week. We're actually going to have Hooba Stank in here a couple of nights.
That's awesome. How many do you think of the Hoobas and Stankers will show up?
Usually two or three.
Really?
Yeah, two or three.
Is that just pandemonium?
No, because they sort of, don't take more than two at a time. And so it sort of rotates.
I've got that, but still. Yeah.
And we'll take some more of your calls. Danny's in here to help you out and to also remind you that he's at the Learning Annex. We don't know when and where.
We do know when. It's the 31st of this month.
Oh, I'm sorry. 31st, May 31st.
We just don't know where yet.
No, we're going to find that out tomorrow night. So keep listening. We'll be right back. Here we go. Anderson's back. He's happy. The listeners do not get to hear Anderson, his little comments that he gives us before, but they've been depressed all night, and as he leads us into the show tonight, this break, he was laughing.
Off the air, you hear 3, 2, 1. That's a 3 count. It takes him a minute when he's this depressed to count to 3.
This now is John. Thank you. John.
Yes.
Hey, you're on the air.
I had a comment about something I heard earlier. I only caught the tail end of it, but it was a stripper who was married to the nerd guy.
Yep. Yeah, Kay.
That's a great call.
We love Kay.
And you guys seem to think that he had to have some other life.
It occurred to me, but now I'm backing off on that.
Yeah, I was just saying, you know, I have to just kind of follow my instincts a little bit on these calls and the people.
He played EverQuest and paper. That is another life. The average player plays 10 to 20 hours a week.
You're right, and I understand that kind of those guys also, you know, look at internet porn and do other kind of obsessional things. And, you know, I don't know. Something's up.
But you don't know from experience. Have you ever played Dungeons & Dragons with a 65-pound overweight ex-stripper? That might be rad. You don't know.
How big is a 65-pound overweight stripper anyway? She's probably still super hot.
Probably 175.
Yeah, right around there.
Yeah.
I mean, if it all's kind of a little bit in the hips, a little bit in the back, I mean, that's all good.
John, you're a nerd, right?
Yeah, of course.
All right, right on, dude.
And so to you, that's like, right? It'd be good. Yeah.
Dog. Be a skinny girl.
It's not if she was an extra, but that's just another thing that she did in her life.
So you... Oh, my God.
Playing his game. Jumped right in. Playing EverQuest with him.
Yeah, it's almost weirder to me that the stripper, pardon me, I apologize.
Porn star stripper.
Okay. The porn star stripper is willing to jump into his Dungeons & Dragons. It's a bigger leap than him accepting that she was a stripper porn star.
Yeah, what also is amusing is John's in love with her.
Yeah, of course.
John's just completely in love with
her. In love with her. Wants her so bad.
Right? And so you as the complete nerd would overlook she as a person and all the things that she was doing in order to get the hot person.
That would play Dungeons & Dragons with you.
That would play the games with you.
Right.
Exactly.
All right. Okay. All right. It's good times.
It makes more than total sense. If you were to log on and bring it up as a subject, everyone would say yes.
All right. So it's her willingness to be with the nerd that is the unusual element in this.
Not just be with, to almost morph into a nerd herself.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's a huge metamorphosis for a stripper.
Fascinating.
To all of a sudden geek out.
Excellent. And she didn't have the crazy feel.
I liked everything about her. People let her into their house. Rich people let her into their house.
It just makes me feel like something's missing. I don't know. Jeff, what's up?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Okay, I got a small problem. Mm-hmm. I've known my girlfriend for about 6 years, and we've been dating for the past 2. And about a week ago, we moved in together. And throughout our whole relationship, she's kind of told me she's had a thing for her ex-boyfriend.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice of her to say that. Why didn't you leave right then?
Well, because it wasn't like she liked him a lot. It was just she didn't know how she felt about him. Like was
this before or after that she said he had a bigger penis than you?
Ooh.
Because she's trying to hurt your feelings.
It never went that far between them. But they dated for a very short time, but she always had... She didn't know how she felt about him. But now that we moved in together and we kind of... We went out with our group of friends and he's in that group of friends.
Ooh.
But he's not interested in her, really. But she says that whenever she's kind of... with us and that group of friends that she kind of thinks that, you know, she feels something for her and that...
Here's my theory, ready? Yeah. She never had sex with him, right? It never went that far.
Right.
They've dated for a short while, right?
Yes.
Okay, he never had a chance to make a mistake. She's glorifying him because she doesn't know who he really is. I know this is going to sound tragic, but I dated this gorgeous girl, but her boyfriend before me was actually killed. And she had pictures of him up, and there was nothing I could do to surpass the dead guy, because he could do no wrong.
Right.
That's what's happening. She's got a guy in her life that's never made a mistake, never hurt her feelings, never made her cry. He was a nice little, it was a fantasy. He's a fantasy. He's not real.
She idealizes him. However, I'm going to disagree with Jeff, with Danny a little bit in that any girlfriend or somebody you're involved with that you feel deeply about who's constantly putting you on alert that she's not that into the relationship and she really could... have, you know, she really is kind of looking elsewhere, I'd get out quick.
Oh, so no, you're not disagreeing with me. I'm just saying that's why she's doing it.
Because, yeah, she can do whatever, but the one thing I know is that she's not that into Jeff, because she wouldn't be saying that about anybody if she were that into Jeff. And she may end up being that into you, Jeff, when you actually leave. Like, that's your only move.
That is your only move.
Because at that point, she may all of a sudden realize what she had, and you're gone anyway. But you got to be really deliberate and be gone. Because that's your only move. Because this thing is going to peter out the way it's going, I suspect. All right?
And it might peter out in a really angry way that it doesn't have to. Because she's being me. I would that would crush me.
Yeah. Chantel?
Well, you saw me. That would crush me.
Hi.
Hi, Chantel.
I've been dating a guy for about 3.5 years, seriously. In a pretty committed relationship. We have a young child together. Oof. And he's known all along that I'm bisexual. I've done things when I go out with my friends with other women. He doesn't know about it. And I've always,
I know it's part of who I am, and I have a hard time reconciling my love for him. I really do love him, but there's part of me that desires to be with a woman, too, and he can't.
How old were you when you first had a relationship with a woman or a sexual encounter with a woman?
About 21.
Nothing before that?
No.
You didn't have anything funny happen with other kids when you were 11 or 10?
No. No, I wasn't sexually active at all until I was 18.
All right, here's my thought. You might be selling this guy short, because in some boy world, and I don't know that it'll make a lasting relationship, but in some boy world, I know guys that would pay money to find out their girlfriends were bisexual. Why don't you ever ask him to join in?
I've asked him about that, and we've, finally gotten to the point where I can talk to him about that kind of thing. But then again, it makes me nervous. Not that I'm insecure in myself, but I'm afraid to open that door inside of our relationship.
Because he's going to go for one of the girls.
Not that he's going to go, but that it's going to change or break something that we have.
Yeah, well, that's the one good instinct you have, Chantel. But the problem here is that being bisexual and cheating are two different things.
Right.
Just because you're bisexual doesn't mean it's okay to cheat with either sex. Yes. Oh, yeah, I've declared myself bisexual. That means it's okay for me to cheat with girls. No, you're cheating. You're in a monogamous relationship, and you're cheating. Okay, you just happen to be able to cheat with either sex because you've declared yourself bisexual. Right. I'm suspicious she actually may be gay and not bisexual, but be that as it may, either commit yourself or don't. And if you're not, fine, you're bisexual. But if, when you're in a monogamous relationship, you aren't supposed to cheat.
Right. I think gay women are gay women, but I think that every girl is two drinks away from being bisexual. That's what I
think. Dad, of course, Danny Monaducci. We're going to take another quick break. Be right back. That about does it for another episode of Loveline. Danny, thank you for joining us. I know.
Thank you for having me. And you'll have me again tomorrow.
It goes too fast, but you'll be right back here in about 22 hours. And day after tomorrow, we'll have Hoobastank in here with you.
That's awesome.
And we'll have you the remainder of the week. So everybody stay tuned for that. In the meantime, is Dr. Drew saying good night and stay well.
I mean, if it all's kind of a little bit in the hips, a little bit in the back, I mean, that's all good.
John, you're a nerd, right?
Yeah, of course.